I believe this is a word in season. I changed the sermon title, what I was going to do. I believe God wants to speak into this. God used it in the first service. I pray that he will use it today. And I pray that what you came in like, you will leave differently. In the Old Testament, I could get this wrong. You know, I speak to pastors and professors in here, so this is sometimes, you know, a little intimidating. But in the Old Testament, when the priests were to come in to worship, they would come in one way, in one door, in one gate, and they had to leave a different gate. And I believe that's a picture of how we ought to encounter God. We come in one way, but we leave another. I believe with all my heart, God wants you to have an encounter with him today because our culture needs it. So I want to talk briefly about unity today. I want to just share from my heart what God began to speak to me about unity while I was at this pastor's retreat. A lot of this is coming from worship, just in times of worship. This pastor's retreat was not like a seminar on how to do church. We were about 25 pastors from all over the nation. We came together to pray. That's what we did. We worshiped and we prayed. And I tell you what, you can't be in an atmosphere like that and not have something to say, because God begins to speak to you. And so as a lot of what I'm about to share right now has come right out of worship, it's come out of that setting. And I'm completely aware of what's taking place in our nation. I know that at that pastor setting, we were all discussing it around the table. How do we pastor? How do we shepherd? In this culture, in this day and age, I've never seen it. I'm sure you can say this as well. Never seen it more divided. Never seen our nation more divided. But I believe when there's conflict, there's opportunity. Amen? And one of the things is that I have no business necessarily in a spiritual authority sense speaking to our community. I have all business to speak to you. Now, you don't have to stay here, but this is my realm of influence, right? And here's the deal. We as believers need to recognize that we are different than the world. And when we're in the world and the world gets in us, then we're no help to anybody. But here today in this atmosphere, we need to recognize that unity is not uniformity. Can I say that again? Unity is not uniformity. We're all going to see things differently. We're all going to have different backgrounds. Can we agree on this? We'll have different backgrounds. And this is the way it ought to be. You see, because on that piano, there are 88 keys and 88 different notes. And every one of them is different. But you know what? When you put a chord together, I'm not a musician, but I understand enough that literally there's a numbering system. How many musicians know what I'm talking about? When you make a chord, it takes three notes, three different notes. Hello? If one of those notes is not tuned or in subjection to what's called, those three notes are called the one, the four, and the five. Those three notes in the chording system, one, the four, and the five. The four and the five only have context and harmony as they are related to the one. Are you following me? If one of those notes begins to play its own song, or if you decide to, in that chord, to just play a different note that's not connected, you know what you have? You don't have harmony. You have discord. Right? There it was, right there. I heard it. Hear that? Play it again, Greg. Yep. Discord is what that's called. So what has to happen when it comes to a church where we are from different backgrounds? I don't believe God wants just a white church. I have good friends and it's all black church. I don't believe that's God's desire. I believe what you're looking around to see is what God's desire is, because it's not about black or white. It's not about male or female, Jew or Gentile. It's about the one. But the thing is that when we're walking in unity, the problem is we are, just like my guitar, we're faced with so many different forces. The atmosphere is pulling and stretching and causing discord constantly. How do we walk in unity when we're all different? The answer is we tune to one. The answer is that we find unity by coming before the one who can bring alignment to everything else in our life, so that we can walk in harmony. We don't look in, you know, he could play all C notes. It wouldn't sound good. But when you play a chord that's different, there's harmony, there's music. God created us differently so that we can walk in harmony. If you don't believe that, get married. The way that we walk in unity culturally in a church is the same way you walk in unity in marriage. And how do you walk in unity? Two people beginning to harmonize with each other and connected and submitted to the one. Amen? How many know that there's only one body? And you're a part of that one body. We are incomplete without you. The body of Christ is incomplete without you. There's only one body. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican or Democrat. It doesn't matter. And by the way, there are no Republicans in heaven. There are no Democrats in heaven. There are no male. There are no female. There are no homosexual. There's only one people that are in heaven. It's those who have given their life to Christ and now are identified as sons and daughters of the King. There's only one identity. And I have bad news for some of you. This might make me get in trouble, but I want to tell you something. Jesus is not American. He loves America, but he is not American. He loves Africa, but he's not African. He loves Puerto Rico, but he's not Puerto Rican. He loves Israel. And you would say, well, he was born a Jew. Yeah, but you know what? He's his own entity. He's the beginning of a new race. And that we're both Jew and Gentile are now together with him in one. We are one body. We are one entity. Regardless of where you are. And you know what? When you are one body, that means that if one body hurts, the whole body hurts. And some of us say, well, they shouldn't hurt about that. Have you ever gotten a paper cut scar? Paper cut? You know, I'm not going to go to the hospital for a paper cut. But I tell you what, I'm not going to do either. I'm not going to be squeezing the lemon juice in my lemon and my water either. You know why? Because that hurts. That hurts. We need to recognize that what's taking place right now in our world is because a root issue of hurt. And what's taking place as believers, and this can't happen in the body, so we cannot be pouring salt into that wound. We need to be putting salve on that wound. We are all one because there was a man who came from heaven who was willing to be the bread of heaven that was broken. He was broken so that we might become whole. Are you following me? He was willing to give of his life. He said he was the bread of heaven. And I want to chastise all of us. Can I do that? Because the Bible says that he who I love, I rebuke. In prayer, this was on Tuesday night prayer, this came to us while we were praying. As Americans, you have rights. You agree with that? As Americans, we have rights. As a person, you have rights. God has given you rights. As Americans, we have the right to be angry. But if we're going to follow him, we have a responsibility to be broken. You following what I'm saying? We can hold on to our rights and miss our destiny. Are you saying, Pastor, I'm supposed to just be a pushover and never speak my mind? No. I'm not saying you never. No, there's health in disagreement. We tell our kids often that, you know, we love each other. Kimberly and I have a great marriage, and I'm not bragging. I'm just saying we have a great marriage. But we have disagreements. And when we have disagreements, we tell our kids, guys, this is a sign of health. You know why? Because if you walk with somebody for a long time and you never disagree with them, chances are one of you is a noodle. And you wonder why you're depressed. And the reason is because you're depressed is because anger that is suppressed becomes depression. We need to have conflict. It's okay. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. But if you've ever seen iron being sharpened, you recognize that nothing gets sharpened without sparks flying. We're going to have conflict within the body of Christ, but that's normal. That's okay. It's okay. It's what you do with it. It's how the spirit in which you act in that conflict. While I was in worship this week, God brought two memories back to mind, back to back, and I knew it was the Holy Spirit speaking to me that I was needing to share that this week. Because I recognize this, that our culture right now, and maybe even some of us this morning, are so angry, and we are so, that when you get angry, you can't hear. You recognize that, right? The higher your anger goes, the less your volume, the volume of the voices come. See, because guess what's happening right now? Things are being said, or things are being heard that's not being said. Some of you are getting this. When Kimberly and I are fighting, and I'm saying that word fighting, we try to be respectful, but I'm not perfect. There's times that I'm not listening to what she's saying because I'm waiting to get my point in. When you get angry, you don't hear. And what's happening is things are being said and done with an intention. But what's happening is the enemy is trying to distort what's being said so that what you're hearing is not what's being said. And that what's happening is a division is being put in place. A wedge is being placed so that two people who are meant to be one are now divided and they don't talk. Conflict is okay. It's how you handle it. There was two memories that God brought to mind. The first one, and I know you guys have heard this story, but this is what God reminded me this week, was that when I was working with delinquent youth, and I was working with a kid who was from Philadelphia, 6'3", black kid that was a Muslim, and he just had a subversive, he was very strong, he was a strong leader type. And what happened was he was smart and he was slick. And what he was doing is he was undermining my authority. And I could never get my finger on him. He was just constantly just doing things. And kids who were good and kind and were just, you know, worked well, suddenly they began to turn. And it was the cottage, the atmosphere changed. And it was a very tense atmosphere. Sound familiar? And I knew it was his fault. It was that kid's fault. Boy, I didn't like him. And the man in me wanted to take him back outside and show him a few things. Now, he would have mopped the floor with me. But I know he would have been limping in the morning. I know that much. I know I would have got some licks in. How many know that I had a right to be angry? He was doing things that were wrong. I had a right to be wrong. I had a right to be angry. How many know you can be right and wrong at the same time? Be careful when you think you're right, and you claim to be doing the works of God. Be careful. Be careful. Now, when I speak in generalities, if you're on the right or on the left, you think I'm talking about the other guy. I'm telling you. You need to listen. This is not for your husband. This is for you. This is not for the person that you're disagreeing. It's for you. So this guy, I didn't like him very much. In fact, I wanted him out of our cottage. But the Holy Spirit was whispering on the inside, that's not me. That's not me. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. So I realized I've got to get under this. I know the spirit I'm operating in right now is not God's spirit. It's not holy. It's not full of love and compassion. It's full of anger, bitterness, resentment, strife, contention. Recognize these words? They went, we let them go to an activity. I had about an hour. I got on my knees. I began to pray. In the first 10, 15 minutes, I couldn't pray right. I was praying prayers like, God, get him. Show him. Get him out of this cottage. And I realized the Holy Spirit was there. Middle C was making a sound. And I was in discord to Middle C. Middle C was whispering, you're in discord. This isn't me. So I began to pray, and some of you might not understand this, and no worries if you come from a different background, but I'm just telling you my story. I began to pray what the Bible calls in our prayer language. It's the language of the Holy Spirit that He gives us to pray when we don't know how to pray and when we don't feel like praying. So I began to pray in tongues. 5 minutes goes by. I'm still angry. 10 minutes goes by. I'm still angry. 15 minutes comes in. And about 15 minutes as I'm just pressing in prayer and I'm still angry, something begins to shift inside of me, and suddenly I'm beginning to think things I hadn't thought of before. And the Holy Spirit began to remind me that this young man's father had been locked in prison since he was a young boy. And this father was Muslim. And suddenly I'm praying. Now this is what's cool about praying in tongues. You can be thinking without knowing what you're saying. And suddenly Holy Spirit's beginning to download to me compassion. I'm going from anger to compassion. Somewhere in the midst of that, I slipped out of praying in the prayer language, and I'm praying in English, and I'm praying things I hadn't thought of before. I'm praying, God, use me as a father in this man's life. God, he might not ever have an example of what a man's supposed to look like. Don't let me drop the ball. God, forgive me for my hatred and my anger. I'm praying, God, you've got to help me because I can't do it. I can only see him on the outside. See, we can only see the what. We can't see the why. God sees both the what and the why. And he often doesn't deal with the what until he deals with the why. I hope you're following me. And I began to pray and I began to weep and I began, and the Holy Spirit began to download to me love. He began to download to me compassion and mercy. And now I'm not angry anymore. I've not got clenched fists. I've got hands that are open and my face is stuffed into that couch and I'm weeping and snot. It was the ugly cry. As I'm praying for this kid and I'm praying, God, change my heart. I hear the door shut and I had to get cleaned up. I got tissues. I cleaned myself up. Walked out of the room and it was never said a word to him. He never said a word to me. But from that day on, everything changed. Everything changed. I never said a word about anything. Nothing. I said nothing. What I want you to see is this. This battle that's taking place is not going to be changed by words. It's going to be changed by those who are touched by love. Divine love, not this sloppy agape type stuff where we just accept everybody. Oh, no. This is the love of God that comes. Something about your countenance changes. Now when I spoke, it was laced with mercy. It was laced with compassion. It was laced with love. And somehow the words that were once taken a certain way, same words, different spirit. His heart began to melt. I'm telling you, this is the truth. From being an adversary to be an advocate of our cottage. He began to be, we heard stories later that he would beat kids up that would talk bad about us. I'm not advocating that. I'm just simply saying change happened without a word being spoken. We're not going to change anybody by our words. What will change is if God allows us to be changed. If we allow our heart to be changed, that somehow that change begins to bring change. And I don't even understand that. The second memory I had was when Kimberly and I were dating. Our dating relationship was far worse than our marriage has ever been. We got divorced several times in our dating relationship. I believe, looking back, I believe the enemy was fighting what he knew was coming. How many know that sometimes what you're facing has nothing to do with your past, has nothing to do with your present, has everything to do with your future? It may not be what's wrong with you that you're having problems. It may be what's right with you and the enemy just wants to get his foot in. How many know that the enemy might just be trying to stop what God wants to do in our nation right now? It's not about the present or the past. It's what's coming. We can't afford to just operate from this level, this plane. We are priests. We have to connect to God and connect to people. And if we only deal on this level, what we can see, we will always be dealing at the what level when God is dealing with the why level. And when we get in touch with him, we can now talk to what from why. Oh man, this is deep. I hope you're following it. And so we were in a contentious time, and it was one of those times, just like our nation, where you couldn't talk your way out of it. You couldn't argue your way out of it. You couldn't listen your way out of it. It was like we were just at odds, and it looked like we weren't going to make it. And on the way home, there was such tension in my heart and anxiety and pressure, and I felt anger and I felt frustration because what I was saying wasn't being heard. What she was saying, I couldn't hear. We couldn't connect. And on the way home at 10 o'clock at night in my Nissan Pulsar, I'm driving home at dark, and I began to cry out to God. I said, God, you promised me wisdom. And it was not a cute prayer. It wasn't one of those nice little neat prayers. It was a pounding of the steering wheel. You promised wisdom. I need wisdom. And here's what I remember. I don't remember any wisdom coming to me. I don't remember any new idea to be able to present my case. No new wisdom. But when I stepped out of the car that night and I saw Kimberly, everything changed. Not a word spoken to me, not a word spoken from her, but the atmosphere had changed. Why? Because God was now on the scene. Folks, we cannot operate as Christians, as believers, without having first being filled with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says that we're not to be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that filling of the Holy Spirit then precedes what he says later in that same chapter. Now, husbands, love your wives. You wives, submit to your husbands. That could never happen without being filled with the Holy Spirit. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Raise them in the fear. You cannot do the works of God without the power of God. And the power of God is only released as we seek Him, as we ask Him, God, I can't fix this, but you can. Give me wisdom. Give me your heart. Give me your compassion. We cannot fix what's happening in our culture when we're in the problem. Hello? We are one body. We are one body. You have a right. You have a right to be angry. But I tell you what, as long as you live out of your rights and not your responsibility to be broken by the hand of God, and as long as you live by your rights, you're never going to be a part of the solution. You're always going to be part of the problem. Are you following me? How many feel convicted? Because I do. I feel convicted. I say, God, I need your grace. Hi, in my own pride, think I know what's wrong with so-and-so. I don't know what's wrong with them. You don't even know your own heart. How can you know someone else's heart? You think you know. We think we're standard bearers of righteousness because our cause is right. Now listen, I'm not talking about someone else. I'm talking about you. Talking about me. Don't you think about someone. We think our cause is right, and therefore we have a right to say what we want. Listen, you can live by your rights and stay stupid. Oh man, sometimes when I get anointed, I get mean. You can live by your rights and miss the destiny God has for you. I could have stayed angry with that young man and missed the opportunity. I still tell that story because it was a DNA moment. It showed me that no matter what I'm facing, no matter how angry I am, there's always a solution, and that solution is not found on one knee. It's found on two knees. Amen? It's found on saying, God, I am the problem. Fix me. Fix me so that I can bring your salvation into this circumstance. Folks, we as a church body cannot be divided. I'm not saying we have to be in uniformity, but we have to walk in unity. I want to read three passages. John 17:11, Jesus' prayer. We've been here for the last 3 weeks. He's praying to the Father. He says, I'll remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. We are protected by one name. One name. I don't hate to disappoint you. It's not George Washington. It's not Abraham Lincoln. I love America. I believe all of us love America. Jesus is an American. He's above it. I love our flag. I honor our military. But don't let the flag become an idol, that it means more to you than your brother or sister in Christ. Come on, I'm saying this. You better get in touch with Jesus, the one love. I love America. We're one. Let me read this, Ephesians 4:3-6. Make every effort. Let me say it again, every effort. Don't tell me you're doing the works of righteousness. You're spending more time, is this a word, bloviating, talking to people, but not praying to God. You can't come into Jerusalem and speak the truth into Jerusalem without first weeping over it. Hello? Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And if you'll say these words with me that are highlighted, read them with me. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. Now this passage right here, Romans 15, I feel such a presence of God on this. I feel like we need to take this passage home and you need to memorize it this week and pray it. I believe this needs to be a prayer. It says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus, according to the one. How are we going to be like-minded? Middle C, according to Jesus. We'd be like-minded. We're not going to always agree. We're always going to have different opinions. But we can be like-minded according to one, Jesus. That you may be with one mind and with one mouth, glorifying God, even the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Let me say that again. Receive one another. Don't let your anger keep you divided from the word. Hello? Don't let your passion keep you alienated from the one love. Amen? We're going to receive communion. And I ask this. When Paul was giving instructions to the Corinthian church, you know why he was rebuking them? He says he was rebuking them because they did not recognize the body. They were mistreating the body. And he said, and that's why some of you are sick and even die early, because you're not recognizing the body. And he said, that's why when we take communion, we need to examine ourselves. And you know, when we examine ourselves, I know that we all have our hang-ups. We all have some issues in our life. Anybody besides me? But I believe what he's saying there in examining ourselves is not so much examining all the secret sins. I believe we need to examine ourselves with those things. I think we need to examine ourselves in the context of what he was saying, is how we've been treating and handling the body of Christ. Ones you agree with or ones you disagree with. I want you to be examining your heart. You say, Pastor, well, who are you talking to? I'm talking to me. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. Lord, we just thank you for the body of Christ. We thank you for our brothers and sisters. Lord, we ask for your grace. And just as that passage in Romans 15, that you would grant us patience, consolation, that you would grant us the ability to be like-minded even when we disagree. Help us to walk in a spirit of humility. Help us to walk in a spirit that is full of compassion and love. God, we pray for Chester, Virginia right now. God, we know that the forces of the enemy want to tear it apart through racial divisions, Lord. Black to white to black, Hispanic. Father, I pray that you would break Destiny Church, that you would break us, that you would break us. Come on, do you believe this? Come on, let's pray now. Let's give him permission to break us for what breaks him. Father, we pray right now that you would help us take off the glasses of our own experience through which we view the world and put on your lens through prayer. Father, I call out the intercessors that will begin to take two knees, not just one, and begin to pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, that we wouldn't be walking in resistance and rejection, but we would be walking in a spirit of reconciliation, not in a spirit of protest, but in a spirit, Father, of love and compassion. Father, I recognize that each one in this room are in families and they're in jobs and they're in situations where it's going to demand wisdom to be able to walk, where there'll be conversations and there'll be things that will cause them to try to be stirred up and provoked on the inside. But Father, I pray for words of wisdom to come to each one in here. Let us be able to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Father, I pray that you would cause us to know the why and not just the what. That just as your word says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And it says later, it says that we're to view no one from a worldly point of view, but from a heavenly point of view. Father, use Destiny Church to to break a spirit of division and racism in Chester, Virginia, in Jesus' name. Use us. Use us. Teach us how to guard the atmosphere in this place, that we are one body. We have many t-shirts. We have different teams, but we are only one family. We are Jesus Christ. We are bought with a price. We've been born again. We have a new identity. We're not of this world. We're of another world. Father, we thank you. Right now, I pray that you give people an ability to step past the passion of their flesh into the passion of your Son, Jesus. Paul, speaking to the Corinthians, says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's eat together. Oh, we thank you, God. We thank you for the body of Christ. We thank you, Father. We choose this week. If you agree with what I'm about to say, I pray that you do this. We pray that this week you would use our prayers for those who disagree with us. For those who have a different perspective, would you help us pray for them? Would you help us lift them up in prayer? May we lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we bear their burden in Jesus' name. We thank you for them. God, we thank you for the gifts and the callings and the blueprints and the designs that you have in them. How you've shaped them and how you've formed them. We recognize them in Jesus' name. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant. It's a game changer. It's the new beginning. It's in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's drink together. Father, we thank you that we're in a new covenant. We operate from a new mindset. It's a mindset of reconciliation and forgiveness in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for the healing of the body of Christ in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that the body of Christ would be healed so that we can bring healing. That we would walk in unity so we can bring unity. That we would walk in peace so that we can be peacemakers in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that the blood of Jesus is protective, that it protects us. Father, protect us from strife, division, racism. Protect us from wrong thoughts. Help us to clarify what is of you and what is not of you. Help us to be discerning in Jesus' name. Deliver us from evil in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Guys, as Americans, we've got to get hold of the fact that before we're Americans, we are sons of the King. We are priests of the Most High God. Amen. We're a holy nation, a peculiar people, right? We've got to set our minds on things above. God loves America. I believe God's doing amazing things in the United States. I believe a revival is here. I believe it's here. I believe it's coming. I believe it's coming. But you know what? Jesus is not American. Amen. We've got to get our roots down into a different soil. You know what? God is doing something, guys. I'm telling you, God is doing something in our church. He's doing something in our church. We are not here by accident. We are not in Chester, Virginia by chance. God has placed us here to be a shining light of what unity is supposed to look like. And we can say that Cowboys fans worship with Steelers fans. That's a miracle. Ravens fans worship with Steelers fans. Black worship with white, and we're friends. Puerto Ricans worship with us. Hispanics, it's not about the color of our skin. It's about the color of the blood that was running down the cross that made us one. We are one body. And folks, we're going to make a difference in our society. Walk in love. Walk in love. Thank you for being obedient, by the way. We thank you for that. But I want to bless you as the usher team. I'm going to bless you. Usher team, you can go ahead and start doing that. Can you look right at me? I know you have to look at the bucket too at times, but if you look right at me, I'm going to make a proclamation. I'm going to make a declaration. And I want you to recognize that this is not just empty words. that these words, I believe, have the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon them so that they have the power to perform what is spoken. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will, just keep your eyes open, look right at me, raise your right hand, and receive this into your heart. The name that is above every name. The name that is above every life that was ever lived. All men, it says, are like grass and their glory like a fading field. But the name of Jesus will be established for eternity, that under the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that He is the Lord of lords, the King of kings, to the glory of the Father. In that name, I bless you. I bless you that you would be connected to the head, which is Jesus Himself, that you would love the body of Christ, that you would have wisdom to walk in unity. May you go in God's grace. May you be filled with the grace and the truth that is in Jesus. Have a great week. Tell somebody about Jesus and go Steelers.